نستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنما أموالكم وأولادكم فتنة والله عنده أجر عظيم وقال تعالى في مقام آخر يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تلهكم أموالكم ولا أولادكم عن ذكر الله صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Respected ulama, brothers and elders, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, peace and salutations be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All praise and thanks is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for each and every favor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. And we praise and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for once again blessing us with this beautiful and auspicious day of Jumu'ah. We remind ourselves of the words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he said regarding this blessed day, خَيْرُ يَوْمٍ طَلَعَتْ عَلَيْهِ شَمْسُ يَوْمُ الْجُمُعَةِ The best day in which the sun can rise is this blessed day of Jumu'ah. And as we all were anticipating and awaiting the arrival of the year 1441, here we find ourselves already 1 month past the year 1441. We are already in the month of Safar, the second month of this year. So we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless each and every one of us with goodness in this year 1441, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the entire ummah from challenges, hardships and unforeseen difficulties in this year, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause peace and prosperity to spread amongst the entire ummah. Respected brothers and elders, among the many fears that man has is the fear of poverty and the fear of being poor. That is something that is a great test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is a very difficult situation to be in. Any person that is tested, especially with regards to their wealth, and they find themselves in a state of poverty, the world understands its challenge and everybody sympathizes with them. But today, inshallah, we're going to discuss something which is in total contrast to that. And what is in total contrast to that is the challenge of affluence and the challenge of wealth. Because our limited understanding sometimes gives us the notion that when a person goes through financial difficulty, spontaneously a person will make the statement and say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing me. And everybody else acknowledges this is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when prosperity comes upon a person and when a person advances in life and the floodgates of barakah and blessings open up upon him, what is the natural response of that individual? Allah is blessing me. Alhamdulillah. I'm so fortunate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed me to such a great extent. It was much more than what I expected. So we understand poverty and trials to be a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and rightly so, that's what it is. But what about prosperity? What about affluence? Is that only viewed as a blessing? But when we look at this deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, we come to understand that many a times prosperity and affluence ends up being a greater test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than poverty and difficulty and hardship. That is a greater test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts upon individuals. And it is such a thing, especially wealth and affluence. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and this narration is brought to us by Iyad bin Himar radiyallahu anhu, he said that the Blessed Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّ لِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ fitna, that every single nation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent into this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested those nations with certain things in particular, and obviously it varied from every nation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent into this world. But then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam highlighted what was to be one of the greatest tests that this ummah will face. And what is that? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Wa fitnatu ummati al-mal." that aspect that my ummah will be tested the most with regards is wealth. That is what is going to be their test. That is what is going to be their trial. And it all depends on whether we pass the test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or we don't pass the test. Let's look at another narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was a rahmatul lil alameen, a mercy unto the whole universe. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had certain worries, certain concerns, and certain fears for the ummah. And lo and behold, amongst the fears that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had for the ummah, was not the fear that people will be going through financial difficulty. It was not the fear of poverty. Although we ask and we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection against that. And it is a great test and it is a great challenge. And we all sympathize with those that are going through these types of difficulties, whether it be at our doorstep or whether it be across the globe. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Lal faqra akhsha alaykum." It's not poverty that I fear for you, my ummah. That's not what I'm worried about. That's not my greatest concern and my greatest worry. But he said, my greatest worry and concern for my ummah is that the world is going to be opened up to them. Is that affluence and wealth will be on the rise. It's that people will see wealth like they never saw before. But then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the problem with that is you will start competing with one another like how the people of the past competed with one another. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, eventually that affluence and that competing will end up destroying you and corrupting you like how it destroyed the people of the past. That was what the fear of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for this ummah. Have we ever thought of it from this angle? Is it something that ever crossed our mind? We become so engrossed in the happiness of that luxury that Allah has blessed me. Wow, I'm so fortunate. I'm so lucky. But am I acknowledging this simultaneously as a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Am I passing this test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do I know that this was one of the greatest concerns of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for this ummah? The test of affluence, the challenge of affluence. Yes, it's wonderful to have a lot of money. It's so comfortable to be well off. But at the same time, this is a great test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we need to acknowledge as being a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if it ends up corrupting a person and it ends up taking a person away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that it's going to destroy you like how it destroyed the people of the past. And when we look through history and you look at any society that goes through the challenge of affluence, and when things happen too quick and success comes too fast, people end up in such a situation that they cannot cope with the rate of success. It comes so quickly, it comes so fast, you had no time to digest, you had no time to prepare, and suddenly you find yourself in this whirlwind of affluence, and then when you sit back and take one moment just to reflect, you realize that you moved so far spiritually from where you were once upon a time, that you don't even know where you are right now. You become completely lost. You become sucked into this whole rat race and you end up running and you end up chasing and you ended up nowhere. In fact, sometimes you regressed spiritually. At one point in your life, you were in a certain state of spirituality. At one point in your life, you had a certain connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then everything opened up in your life and you got so caught up in the race that now when you sit back and look, you're like, hold on. Is this where I wanted to be? Am I really happy right now? Am I at peace within myself? Do I have genuine contentment within my heart? Do I have that same sense of spirituality I had once upon a time? Has that sense of spirituality been enhanced in my life or not? These are reflections that we all need to do within ourselves. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Hakim bin Hizam radiyallahu an, a great companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to him, "Ya Hakim, inna hadhal mal khadiratun hulwatun." He said, "Oh Hakim, you need to be aware and you need to know that this wealth that the world has to offer is lush, it's green, it's so appealing." I mean, let's be honest, I'll speak about myself first and foremost. Who doesn't love the good things in life? Who doesn't desire to be rich? Who doesn't want to be affluent? Who doesn't want to be in need? Every single person has this desire, وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٍ. That's a natural characteristic that is embedded within us as human beings. We love the good things in life. Everybody wants to be a rich person. But the Prophet ﷺ said to Hakim, إِنَّ هَذَا الْمَالْ خَضِرَةٌ حُلْوَةٌ. This wealth is very, very lush. It's very appealing. It's very sweet. But the Prophet ﷺ said, فَمَنْ أَخَذَهُ بِسَخَاوَةِ نَفْسٍ بُورِكَ لَهُ فِيهِ. Whoever acquires this wealth, whoever becomes affluent, whoever enjoys affluence and simultaneously manages to balance out a generous heart and secure his connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and maintain a certain state of humility. That's the conditions. فَمَنْ أَخَذَهُ بِسَخَاوَةِ نَفْسٍ. Whoever acquires it and at the same time maintains the same state or a good state of spirituality between him and between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he maintains a generous nature, بُورِكَ لَهُ فِيهِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah will put immense barakah and blessings in that wealth that the person is granted. But then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a stern warning. And he said, وَمَنْ أَخَذَهُ بِإِشْرَافِ نَفْسٍ. Whoever goes about acquiring this wealth only to satisfy the innate and selfish greed that is within a person, only to maintain a certain status quo in society. Today it's all about how much you have, not who you are, not what you did, not how good you are. It's about how much you have that everybody looks at. Unfortunately, this is one of the tests of the society that we're living in. It's sometimes confusing whether a person is being greeted or it's his wealth that's being respected. It's very hard to tell the difference between the two, because unfortunately everybody is being tested in this way, in some way or the other. But that person who acquires wealth with the wrong intentions, that person who only wants to satisfy and feed his ego and only wants to live up to a certain standard that society has suddenly made up in life, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there will be no barakah and no blessings in that wealth. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, كَالَّذِي يَأْكُلُ وَلَا يَشْبَعُ. It will be like a person that continuously consumes and eats food and never ever gets full. Now let's pause at this point of the narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and again do reflections. There's so many people present in the world that maybe 20 years ago said to themselves, if I reach this standard of affluence in life, if I make this amount of money, that's all that I need to be comfortable. If I just need to get to that level, alhamdulillah, I'm sorted out. I'm going to retire, I'm going to dedicate myself, maybe to my family, maybe to deen, but I just need to reach this level. And we set the bar for ourselves. But lo and behold, 20 years later, we find ourselves far surpassed the original goal that we set for ourselves, but we're still running, we're still in the race. Nobody is slowing down. Who's gonna slow down? The Prophet ﷺ said, كَالَّذِي يَأْكُلُ وَلَا يَشْبَعُ. It will be like a person that eats and never gets full. When are we ever gonna get full? When are we gonna say, Alhamdulillah? I mean, what's even more surprising, we know there's challenges and there's a strain in the economy, there's an inflation, and everybody has their complaints and everybody rightfully has their challenges. But what I find very, very difficult to understand is that every year at a certain point, you ask a person, brother, how's business? How's things going? How's the market? Hey, ma, things are quiet at the moment, man. No fireworks. I think last year was much better. At the moment, no, it's not happening like how it used to happen before. Things are quiet at the moment. He said that this year. You ask him the same question next year, he'll give you exactly the same answer. Things are quiet right now, man. Last year was much better. Every year was better than the pre... Every year is progressively worse than the year before. But when you're looking at that person's outward life, it's only increasing, mashallah. We're happy for you, it's good. Everything in your life is being upgraded. Everything in your life is increasing. But every time you ask the person, no maana, man. No maja like before. What maja are we really looking for? What is it that you are really searching for? If every year is getting progressively worse, as per your statement, then definitely that also is supposed to be showing outwardly on you. But mashallah, you're progressing. Every few years, the house is being renovated. Every year, I'm still traveling 4 or 5 times a year overseas. Every year, I'm upgrading my vehicle. My standard of life is continuously being upgraded. But things are bad at the moment. Things are tight at the moment. No, not like what it was before. كَالَّذِي يَأْكُلُ وَلَا يَشْبَعُ. Like a man that continuously eats and never gets full. The Prophet ﷺ said, Yukabbiru ibn Adam, the son of Adam advances in age. Every human being gets old. Nobody's going to be young forever. But then he said, وَيُكَبِّرُ مَعَهُ إِثْنَانَ. But there's two things that also advance with him as he gets older. And what are those two things that increase and advance within a person as he lives longer in this world? حُبُّ الْمَالِ وَتُولُ الْعُمْرِ. The Prophet ﷺ said, the older a person gets, the more his desire for life increases. Who wants to die? Who's ready to leave this world? No one. Sometimes we have a great fear for death. Whereas when we look at the pious and the righteous, they view death as a bridge that connects the lover to the beloved. They're waiting to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But a man loves to live longer in this world. وَحُبُّ الْمَالِ. And the older he gets, the more his desire for wealth increases. The more his love for wealth increases. It doesn't stop. You know the famous story, there was an elderly person in his 80s that was critically ill in hospital, drifting in and out of consciousness in his last leg of life with a whole lot of machines all wired up to him, his heart rate been monitored, his pressure been monitored, everything looking very challenging, looking very bleak, and here he is lying in ICU, and as he's drifting in and out of consciousness, he wakes up and his vision is blurred. He's not really aware of what's happening around him. And he's like, I can send somebody here. Who's here with me? And his son Muhammad answers and says, Papa, it's me Muhammad, your son. I'm here right next to you by your side. So then the father says, oh Muhammad, you here? Okay, where's Ahmed? Where's your brother Ahmed? So then Ahmed is also present in the room. This is perhaps the final moments of the man's life. So Ahmed says, Papa, I'm also here. I'm also at your side. I'm here with Muhammad. So then the father again, he's a bit groggy, he's not all day. He says, okay Ahmed, you also here. Where's Ibrahim? Where's my youngest son Ibrahim? Is he also here? Where's Ibrahim? Ibrahim says, Papa, I'm also here. I'm here by your side. We're all here. Is there anything we can do for you? Can we help you in any way? What do you need? So then the old man says, Muhammad, Ahmed, Ibrahim, if you're all here, who's standing in the shop? What you're doing here? Somebody needs to be there. Who's in the business? Who's running the business? A man gets old, but his desire for wealth increases. Here the man is on the last leg of his life. Perhaps his final moments. What's his concern? Who's standing in the shop? Obviously, we got to also look after our assets. That's also something naturally that might cross our mind. But where's the focus? At which point in your life? The older you get, the closer you're supposed to be drawing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The less attachment you're supposed to have to the material aspects of this world. But then unfortunately, we've seen the opposite. The more a person gets older, the more he's running. And the worst part is sometimes it's like as if you're running on the spot. كَالَّذِي يَأْكُلُ وَلَا يَشْبَعُ. Like a man that consumes food but never gets full. Now let's ask ourselves a serious question, each person on their own. Am I really content? Can I stand up and say, Alhamdulillah, I've had more than I've ever desired in life. Oh Allah, I can never thank you enough. There's nothing wrong with still desiring the more thereafter. But is that your spiritual state right now as you seated in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If that is your state of contentment, then you've to an extent passed the test of affluence and pass the test of wealth because you're truly grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if at the same time you find yourself in a situation that you have truly been blessed to such a great extent, but you find absolutely no inner sense of joy and contentment within yourself, then unfortunately, this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is warning us about. كَالَّذِي يَأْكُلُ وَلَا يَشْبَعُ. Like a man that eats and never ever gets full. The Prophet ﷺ said, the natural greed that is found within a person is something that can never ever be fulfilled in this world. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, لَوْ أَنَّ لِبْرِ آدَمْ وَادِيًا مِنَ الذَّهَبِ. The Prophet ﷺ said, if a person has to acquire an entire valley of gold, mashallah, there's people in front of me that know a lot more about business and the markets than I would ever know. I'm sure we know what's the gold price sitting at right now. What's the value of 1 ounce of gold? Here the Prophet ﷺ said, if a person possesses not 1 ounce, not 1 kilo, not a few bars of gold, an entire valley of gold, something that you cannot put a monetary value to in whatever currency you want to use. It's impossible. You will not be able to get an accurate figure to give you the value, the monetary value of an entire valley of gold. So perhaps any person who would ever manage to acquire that will hands down be the richest man that ever existed in the history of humanity. But the Prophet ﷺ said that the greed of man is such, if a man gets to that level of affluence, that he owns an entire valley of gold, لَا أَحَبَّ أَيَّكُونَ لَهُ وَادِيَانَ. You think that man will be sitting in the masjid and say, I'm done, mashallah, Allah gave me a whole valley of gold, what more I need to do, I'll make sajda for the rest of my life. He'll say, if I could make it to one, why can't it be two? Let me work harder. I mean, if I got this much, what's stopping me from getting more? La ahabba ayyakuna lahu wadiyan. He'll want another whole valley of gold. The one is not enough. But the Prophet ﷺ said, if he continues in this manner, وَلَيَّمْلَأَ فَاهُ إِلَّا التُّرَابِ. The only thing that will satisfy his greed, the only time it will stop, is when the sand of the grave enters his belly. That means you will run and you will race and you will move. Non-stop you'll be in motion. The only time it will stop is when you leave this world. And the grave, the sand of the grave enters your belly. Then it will be enough. Then it's gonna stop. Now, look at the challenges that come. You know what's more surprising when you study this topic, and I would encourage each and every one of you to read up on this, the challenge of affluence and what the Western world has to say about how great this test is upon any society, upon any community, upon every individual. The negatives that come about, everybody will be happy when they're simple. Let affluence now come and set in into that family. Let 10 years pass, let 15 years pass. What happens? Those two brothers that sat together and ate from one plate of food as youngsters, those two brothers that would do anything for each other when they're young, both end up fighting with each other just over a few coppers of the world. Okay, maybe a few bars of the world. Let's put it into the real context. But you were so close once upon a time. Affluence set in, then suddenly somebody wants more than the other. Somebody is ready to trample over the rights of somebody else. Somebody wants to usurp the right of somebody else. The problems come about. Yet when everyone was simple, there was no problem. Affluence came. It was not perhaps nurtured in the right way. We lost our focus somewhere along the way. And now the family politics start. Now the court case starts. Husband and wife were happily married as they began their life as simple people. Affluence came in. What happened? Husband and wife drifted apart. Husband was busy earning, wife was busy spending, or maybe the opposite way around. They drifted apart. The challenge of affluence is something that they were not prepared for. So once upon a time they loved one another, now they literally hanging on just to keep up a certain status of society. No, everyone thinks we're happy, so we gotta look happy, but we're miserable. One person said that it has become so easy in the world that we're living in to capture the face of poverty. You see a poor man who's standing outside his broken home, you'll take a picture, it's become so easy to capture the face of poverty. But nobody has captured the challenge of affluence, which is the other face of poverty. Think about that. It's become so easy to capture the face of poverty, to look at somebody in distress, but it's become difficult to capture the challenge of affluence that in essence is the other face of poverty. How many they are that have a smile on their face but are broken inside? They have everything that the world has to offer, but they are literally miserable. They are in the lap of luxury, but they can't get a wink of sleep. How many there are that are living in such a situation that we literally trying to buy each other's happiness? We try to buy the happiness of our families. We try to buy the happiness of our friends. We try to buy the happiness of our children. كَالَّذِي يَأْكُلُ وَلَا يَشْبَعُ. Like a person that eats, he's not getting full. There's no joy. There's no contentment. Now, if these are the challenges that come about with affluence, then how do we go about making it better? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, O you who believe, لَا تُلْهِكُمْ أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Do not let your wealth and do not let your family ever move you away from your connection with Allah. That's the most important thing. That's the most critical component of our existence. So if Allah has blessed me as much as He has blessed me, has it increased my connection with Allah or not? It's as simple as that. Has it brought me closer to Allah or not? If it has brought me closer to Allah, again, I've passed the test of affluence that Allah has placed upon me. If my connection with the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is constantly being increased, then most definitely I am passing the test of affluence that Allah has put upon me. So all we need to do is sit back and look, have we secured our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? Because that's what Allah said. لَا تُلِكُمْ أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Do not let your wealth distract you from Allah. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. Allah said, if that distracts you from Allah, then you've lost. So if that has not distracted you from Allah, then most definitely you are a winner all the way. The best of wealth belongs to who? The best of wealth is the wealth that is in the hand of the man whose heart is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because again, let's be honest. وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٍ. Every one of us love the good things in life. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with enjoying the good things in life. There's nothing wrong with you enjoying the luxuries that the world has to offer, provided everything else in your life is also in order, and there's no debts and there's no extravagance, etc. There's nothing wrong with it. All depends on your spiritual state. That's the most important thing. So the best of wealth is the wealth that is possessed or that is in the hand of the man whose heart is connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And don't forget, when a person's heart is connected to Allah, the hand lets go easy of that same wealth. Why? Because the wealth is there and Allah is here. Today it's like maybe opposite. The wealth is here and only Allah knows where Allah is in our life. Have we forgotten where we're supposed to be as believers? Have we moved away from the one who blessed us so greatly? We have so much to be grateful for. On every front, when people are being challenged across the globe, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been so kind to each and every one of us. So we need to show more gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the most effective way of being grateful to Allah is by being close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ali radiallahu anhu once visited the graveyard, and he sat looking at the inhabitants of the graveyard, at all the graves around him. And then he started to speak to the people of the grave. And he said, listen, I need to tell you all something very, very important. He said, Ya Ahl al-Qubur, O people residing in this graveyard, Nukihat azwajukum. All your spouses that you all have left behind have moved on in life. Many of them have gotten remarried and now they've forgotten you all. And then he said, وَقُسِمَتْ أَمْوَالُكُمْ. Those millions that you all accumulated has already been distributed long ago. وَسُكِنَتْ بُيُوتُكُمْ. He said, your palatial homes that you all built in the world is now occupied by others. And he said, your kids and your children that you all have left behind have all gotten busy and moved on with their lives. And he said, هَذَا خَبْرُ مَا عِنْدَنَا. This is an update that I'm giving y'all. فَيَا لَيْتَ شَعْرِي. He said, I've said my piece. مَا خَبْرُ مَا عِنْدَكُمْ. What can y'all tell us? What update can y'all give us, O people of the grave? And obviously he's talking to the people of the grave, they can't respond. And he said, لَوْ قُلْتُمْ لَوْ تَكَلَّمْتُمْ. If only y'all could speak, لَقُلْتُمْ, I am sure that y'all would say, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. That, oh people living in the world, the prepare for this journey of the afterlife, and there's no better preparation you can make other than securing your relationship with Allah. That's what y'all would tell us. If y'all could speak, this is what y'all would say, that secure your connection with Allah and you've attained the ultimate success that can ever achieved by a human being. And if we've not secured that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can have the best that the world has to offer, and we will be more miserable than we can ever imagine. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect each and every one of us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to pass the test of wealth. I mean, we were clever enough, mashallah. We feel we were clever enough to acquire that which we acquired. Everybody attributes it to himself, that I worked hard. If you were brilliant enough to acquire it, you are inshallah more brilliant enough to pass the test that has been put upon you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.